During the White House term of the previous president, we'd gotten accustomed to images of extreme political religious right figures laying hands on the leader of the free world, or marching across megachurch stages declaring the Oval Office to be holy ground. Well, okay, I won't say accustomed, maybe grown numb to is a better way to put it. In any case, the nonstop affirmation of one kind of fundamentalist prosperity gospel nationalistic Christianity was uncomfortable enough for most Americans of faith who do not subscribe to this dogmatic authoritarian version of their religion. How much more alienating, then, were these years for the many millions who identify as atheist, as humanist, as secular? But with new national leadership comes renewed respect for the awesome diversity that comprises our society. And so it is no surprise that a proudly Catholic president has made sure his administration is reaching out to Americans slighted by recent imbalances which led this past week to a meeting between White House Office of Faith-Based and Neighborhood Partnerships and leaders of prominent secular groups in this country. For a readout of this important step forward, I'm really happy to be joined by Debbie Allen, Executive Director of the Secular Coalition for America. Debbie, welcome to State of Belief Radio.
Thank you so much. I'm really excited to be here and to share what we've been doing.
Good, good. Well, what a welcome change, right? I still find it hard to believe how narrowly focused the previous White House was in the 21st century on one small slice of the Americans' values pie.
Yes, yes. We certainly saw a lot of white Christian nationalism flowering in full glory in the public square, and never so clearly than on January 6th, recently. And we've been watching with some horror, and maybe I should back up and say we've also been watching with some gratitude that previous administrations have started including and being inclusive of people of no faith, as well as people of diverse faiths. So we are trying always to move towards a greater pluralism. And this previous administration seemed to be taking away all the gains from the Obama-Biden administration. You may remember that nuns, people with no religious affiliation, were even called out during Obama's inaugural address. And we about fell off our chairs or our couches at home. And I can only imagine how exciting it would have been to be here in the nation's capital hearing that kind of language for the very first time.
Well, I tell you, I was tickled to death to hear that you were having a meeting in the White House or from the White House.
I had had some familiarity with Josh Dixon, who's the deputy director. He was very welcoming to the humanist community. We even had a progressive humanist group gathered to be humanists for Biden, and we got to know Josh at that time. We're familiar with Director Rogers' work because she did very well in the Obama administration. I consider her a real scholar and a real friend to the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. I mean, I think she embodies that in everything she does. So I have tremendous respect, and actually a person of no faith has faith in other people. And I do have faith in the people that are directing that office. However, when you look at what we do, the Secular Coalition for America, where we're looking to increase the visibility and respect for non-theists, specifically atheists, agnostics, humanists, freethinkers, et cetera, we become very concerned when we have White House offices called faith-based initiatives. Right. Now, so our request was that they rescind the executive order from the Trump era to continue such an office. But since they have that office, we want to be included. And we are emboldened by the fact that they call themselves faith-based and neighborhood partnerships. In other words, we fit in. Their fact sheet also reminds us what they intend to do. And I wanted to just read something from their fact sheet because it meant a lot to us. The partnership's office initial work will include collaborating with civil society to address the COVID-19 pandemic, boost economic recovery, combat systemic racism, increase opportunity and mobility for historically disadvantaged communities, and strengthen pluralism. The office will also support agency partnerships that advance the United States government's diplomatic, international development, and humanitarian work around the world. All of this work will be done in ways that respect cherished constitutional guarantees. Now, that last line, which they also underscore later on in the fact sheet, that also mentions secular humanists by name, which is unusual in any kind of executive mm-hmm. order, that together we can serve America and one another and strengthen our country. And so we are looking at this as a promise from this office about how they are going to engage secular organizations and that they are going to treat equally and fairly the religious and the non-religious nonprofits that are intending to help guide policies and help our neighbors in need.
Debbie, just so you know, since 1999, I had been arguing that we did not need a faith-based office in the White House, and I probably said that so many times I couldn't even count them before congressional committees and other places. And I always have hoped that that would change, but it hasn't changed, but at least we are seeing some openness in what you just read. I'm mm-hmm. curious, what were some of the issues raised by you and your partners in that meeting?
First of all, we thank the administration for things that had happened already by executive order and that had been passed as legislation, at least in the House. So certain things that are our priorities that we discussed are the Do No Harm Act, the Scientific Integrity Act, the No Ban Act, which is, you know, moving along, the Stop Female Genital Mutilation Act, Women's Health Protection Act. We named several areas in which people of no faith or the wrong faith are being discriminated against when applying for receiving public services or benefits. So we mentioned several things where they might lend a friendly voice to the conversation to the Biden-Harris administration. And we also suggested that they take a look at the Small Business Association's loans during the PPP program. Mm-hmm. Millions and millions of dollars were given to religious organizations, and those organizations do not have the same reporting requirements. So we become concerned when taxpayers' monies go off to religious organizations without accountability. Mm-hmm. And we need more eyes on that because some of that money can be used improperly and can go underground and fund political candidates, which is against the IRS rules. So we're attending weekly meetings of this office. And I will say that that's one of the best things about them so far is they are having weekly meetings on Thursdays at noon. Anybody but can go. I don't believe they allow reporters, but that's only because they say, are you a reporter? Maybe they'll let you come, but you have restrictions. But anyway, they're keeping in touch with their partners, their mm-hmm. religious partners, their secular partners. So we kind of know what's happening. And members of my coalition, we have 19 member organizations in our coalition, and some of us from every organization are on every call sort of watching how it's going. Uh-huh. And we are mindful and a little bit suspicious there's going to be a slip here and there. and we're going to disagree with how monies might be granted. Mm-hmm. But we need to be at that table because Absolutely. The secular community deserves to receive some of these funds because they too are good neighbors and are helping others in their communities.
What would you say was your takeaway feeling from that first meeting? What was it your sense that the White House recognizes both the potential for partnering with you and the need to undo some of the damage that has been done in previous years?
Yes, I do think we have more that we agree about than we disagree about. And that is partly because this is a more progressive administration. Yeah. And people that are non-religious overall tend to be also more progressive in their social values. Mm-hmm. So we feel some common, right off the bat, we feel some common understandings about what should or should not happen. Like people should not be denied coming into the United States just because they're Muslim yeah. or from Africa. That just shouldn't happen. So we're all in agreement about that. One of the things that came out of the meeting that was important to me was we mentioned that our community is discriminated against. Almost 50% of atheists find themselves hiding in their lives. 30% conceal it from their family. 44% don't identify at work. 43% at school. Well, the reason you hide is when you're ashamed, and you're ashamed when you get bullied or discriminated against. So that's the nature of the everyday experience for most atheists. And another third report negative experiences in the workplace. So those are important issues to us, and we weren't necessarily focused on those, but their office, the White House office, is concerned about discrimination against religious people and non-religious people all over the world, and including in the United States. Yeah. So they actually asked us for our data, and we have been collecting it for many years, and we do have things that we can report. And I think this might be enlightening. Mm-hmm. To them, because yeah. sometimes, like if half of your population is in hiding, you don't understand how broad a community is. Right now, people that are unaffiliated with religion and or atheists represent about 26% of the people. And I think where this becomes really important is when Congress members go back to their home districts and start praying or proselytizing or suggesting that good Christian people will do X, Y, and Z, they better be familiar with the religious demographics in their district. Mm-hmm. And they need to understand that, especially more liberal progressive Democrats need to understand how many of them are actually non-believers and are being excluded. So
let's focus for a minute here just on the Secular Coalition. What are the top priorities for the coalition and its partners in the coming months?
Well, we do have our secular agenda, and we're trying to meet with as many legislators as possible. They have been very busy with lots of things, but we can find meetings with them or their staff members to tell them about who we are as a community, how we are reflected within their district, and what the issues we care about are. And briefly, I will say that anytime some sort of social policy or public policy concern intersects with religion, that's our little sweet spot. That's the point where we say, is this good or bad for our community? And if we need to chime in with our voice, then we feel it's our responsibility to represent our donors and supporters in that way. We're often chasing bad legislation, trying to stop it. Supporting good legislation, we'll go out and ask people to please co-sign or support a certain piece of legislation, the more the merrier. And the other thing that we do, that specifically the Secular Coalition for America does, is we try to elevate the voice of our 19 member organizations. Some of those organizations are very large, and they don't need us for that purpose, but again, working together. And one of the things we do is we hold monthly meetings for the lobbyists, for the grassroots workers, for the communication specialists, so that we know that we're walking in coordination with one another toward common goals.
Would you talk a little bit to our listeners about how they can be more informed about the Secular Coalition and how they can support your work?
Yes, of course. So the best place would be to visit our website, and that would be at secular.org. On that website, you can look at our issues, and you can also look for our secular agenda for the 117th Congress and Biden administration. Again, that's the secular agenda for the 117th Congress. If you search for that on our website, you'll be able to get a list of our legislative priorities for the coming year. These are the things that we're most likely to work on. You also can sign up for a MailChimp newsletter. We send something out about once a week, and it tries to be informational. It tries to update you on what we are lobbying on. If we've had visits, how did they come about, and what was accomplished, and what our next steps are. Another thing that we are very happy to do is help people visit their Congress members and promote their causes or their issues or their concerns. And that invitation is open to everybody, regardless of political party. We would really love to involve people from all political persuasions, because some legislators will listen to some people more than they will somebody else. And I feel we don't have enough atheists speaking to more conservative, Republican, libertarian legislators.
Debbie Allen is Executive Director of the Secular Coalition for America. Thank you so much for being with us on State of Belief today. Thank you so much, Debbie.
Thank you for having me. It was a pleasure, really. Thank you.